Morning. Today's Daf and Baba Basra is Lamed Vav. We're in the third parak of the Masechta. We're talking about Kinyan Gimel Shanim, that by occupying land, you're there for for 3 years, so you acquire the land. That's been the topic of discussion since the beginning of the parak, and it's a very long parak. The parak is 30 blad, started in Chav Ches. It's going to take us all the way to Samech. First of all, good Chodesh, everyone. Let's put it this way: when we get to Purim, which is 2 weeks from now, we're still going to be in the third parak of Baba Basra. It's a very big parak. So anyway, so the topic of discussion has been over the course of time. How to make this chazaka. Yesterday, really a fundamental daf in Shas in general, but in terms of how to deal with conflict resolution. So yesterday was really a major daf discussing how to resolve conflict, and we went through the parameters of halacha. We went through called alam gavar, let the best man win, shuda d'dayne, the discretion of the judges, and yachlokim. We went through a division. So basically, we covered all of our bases yesterday in terms of how to deal with conflict resolution. We are on the Gemara towards the bottom of Lamed Hamad Beis. One other major point that we discussed yesterday was it's the responsibility of the owner to make a macha, meaning that if the owner knows that somebody's going to be living on his property for a long time, either the person's a sharecropper, or Mashkanasa Desura, or the land is going to be held as collateral against a loan, and you know that somebody's going to be on your land for a very long time, it's your responsibility, you meaning the Marakama, it's your responsibility to make a macha, to make lodge a formal protest, so that the person at a later point in time cannot claim that he's acquired the land through Kinyan Chazaka. Okay, so those are the major discussions that we had yesterday. We are on the bottom five lines from the bottom, the Amud Amr of Yehuda Merav. So we have now the following halacha, and it goes like this. Let's say a Jew has a land, but only as a result of a non-Jew, meaning he purchased it from a non-Jew. So he has the status of a non-Jew vis-a-vis what? The Gemara is about to explain. Just like an Akum does not have a chazaka, ela bishtar, meaning how does a non-Jew show that he has ownership of a land? So the only way that a non-Jew can successfully prove ownership of the land is documentation. He must have a shtar in his hand. If he does not have a shtar in his hand, and he just simply says, oh, I've been here for a while, so he does not have cheskas kemoshanim. So Yisrael, haba machmasaka min lo chazaka. So when you buy the land from a non-Jew, so you're also going to be afforded the same limited proof of ownership. Meaning you can't say, well, I bought it from a non-Jew and I know he owns it because of cheskes gimel shanim, therefore I own it. No. In other words, the only way you're going to be able to successfully prove ownership of the land is only through a shtar, not through kinyan chazaka, ela bishtar. So that's the only way you're going to prove ownership. Obviously, it begs the question. The Gemara doesn't explain why. The Gemara just simply says that a guy does not have kinyan cheskes gimel shanim. The obvious question is why, and the Gemara does not explain. We need the Rashbam. We're going to look at the Rashbam. It is the last Rashbam in the Amud. It's a longer Rashbam. We're going to go through a good part of it. You saw about machmasakam harei ka'akam. So when you buy the land from a non-Jew, so you have vis-a-vis proof of ownership the same status as a non-Jew. The Rashbam writes. Sadeh. Let's say the land originally belonged to a Jew and then a non-Jew assumed ownership. And he's been there for a while, 3 years, more than 3 years. And his claim is, look, I bought it. And he's been there for a long time. And then along comes the Jew and buys it from this non-Jew. And he too has been there for a long time. The original owner now has the right to come and say, look, he didn't own it, meaning the non-Jew didn't own it, you don't own it, meaning there's no documentation over here in this entire discussion, therefore, he didn't own it, therefore, you don't own it, therefore, I come and claim what is rightfully mine. And the Rashbam points out that the only way you should be buying a land from a non-Jew is only if he can produce a shtar. If he cannot produce a shtar, so then he doesn't own it. Good. So far in the Rashbam, all we've done really is just say out the halacha, but we didn't say why yet. Now we're about to. The Rashbam continues. Din chazaka leis leila akum. So the akum does not have cheskas gimel shan. Why not? Below koman de asi machmasay distam akum gazlanim hein. So the Rashbam offers the following explanation. Because generally speaking, we assume that he did not rightfully acquire the land, but he just simply took the land. He's a gazlan. The Yisrael yare limchos. And as far as how come there was no protest, I'll tell you why there was no protest. Because the Jew, the original owner, was afraid. In other words, he was scared. In other words, it was taken away from him. And so he was afraid to protest. Therefore, there was no chazaka that was instituted for them. Just if we could focus on the word that's used by the Rashbam over here, takana. Meaning, the Gemara never said this, but it's an assumption that we're making throughout the Perek. And that is, cheskes gimel shanim is a takana. Meaning, it's an institution. It's a rabbinic institution. Meaning, if you remember the beginning of the Perek, the Gemara asked the question, where does it come from? So we tried. We tried to learn it out through the halachas of Muad. And we tried to learn it out from Psukim and Yirmiyahu. And then the Gemara says, well, people don't hold their documents for more than 3 years. Meaning, the Gemara never says it straight out, but the easiest way to say it is that it's a takana, it's a takana de Rabbanan. Here in this Rashbam, you actually see him using the word. The Rashbam says that, well, the Rashbam is using it to say that the Chachamim were not misaking it for a non-Jew, which again, pretty much states that it's a takana. And by the way, the Rashbam says, I'll just give you a sneak preview of the Gemara coming up later this morning, which is that the Reish Galusa also does not have chazaka. Meaning this reason that we're giving right now, it's not just limited to an akum, it's also applicable in other areas. Meaning if it's a person that you're afraid of, and therefore you're not going to make a machal, therefore that person does not acquire through kinyan chazaka. Later on, we're going to say that the Reish Galusa cannot acquire a property through kinyan chazaka. I'm sorry, through cheskas gimel shanim. The Rashbam says it's the same halacha. It's based on the same rationale. If you're too afraid to make a macha, so therefore the person who's been sitting on your property is therefore not going to acquire it through cheskas gimel shanim. That's what's true over here by the Akum. The Rashbam says it's going to be true later on by the Reish Galusa. We'll see that later on as well. Okay, so that is the reason why it is that a Akum does not have cheskas gimel shanim. Let's go back to the Gemara.
But why can't an Israel do it?
Do what?
Sit on the land for 3 years and take it over.
Well, because his only right to ownership is that he bought it from a non-Jew. So he can't have more of a taina. Huh?
He does it through chazaka.
No, I understand that. Even if he does it through chazaka. Chazaka just simply means now that I'm the rightful owner. But why am I the rightful owner? Remember, you need a taina. You also need an explanation in terms of why you're the rightful owner. I'm the rightful owner because I bought it from him. Yeah, but he wasn't the rightful owner. So you can't be more of an owner, any more of an owner than the person you bought it from.
No, but I think what is happening is, why does an original Jew, once a Jew is trying to make a chazaka, why didn't he limp us then? He was a further
guy. Uh-huh. In other words, we should put a burden on the original owner now to make a chazaka. Okay, fine. So Ela Bishar Af Yisrael Bamach Basakam and Lochazak Ela Bishar. Amar Rava. Last line of Laman Hamad Beis. The Amar Yisrael Didi Amar Liakam Diminach Zavna Mehemad. Now the first way that Rava presents his halacha, it's a little bit strange, and the Gemara is going to comment on that. He says, well, look, if the Jew who buys it from a non-Jew says, you know what the non-Jew told me? The non-Jew told me that he bought it from the Jew. So then the Jew, meaning we're talking about now the third owner of the property, so then the Jew is going to be believed. So the Gemara says, what did you just say? Me ikami did the ilo akam amar lo meheman, vi ilo amar yisrael mishmeda akam meheman. The Gemara says, it's really preposterous. Meaning, what's going to happen? Let's go back to the second owner. The second owner is the non-Jew. And the non-Jew does not have documentation. And he says, yeah, but you know what? I bought it. And I've been here for all this time. So he doesn't have cheskes gimel shanim, as we already established. And he's not going to be believed when he says, I bought it, if he doesn't have documentation. So he's not going to be believed. And now, if the Jew quotes the non-Jew, and the Jew says, oh, don't worry, I bought it from the non-Jew. And he told me that he bought it. Well, that's rather, if the non-Jew is not going to be believed, so the Jew quoting the non-Jew is not going to give any more credibility. So the Gemara says, so that's not what Rava, it's not what he said. El Amarava, or it's what he said, but he modified it whichever way. But El Amarava, E Amar Yisrael Kamididi Zavna Akum, Minach, Vizavna Niali, Meheman. So let's say the Yisrael says as follows. We're talking now about the third owner. In other words, it went from Jew to non-Jew to Jew. So we're talking now about the third owner. If he says, look, I was there present at the sale between the Jew and the non-Jew. So, and then the non-Jew turned around and sold it to me. Now, Mehemon, on that circumstance, he's going to be believed. Why? Just one second. Migu de'ibai amr le'ana zavas l'minach. Because over here, the Gemara says he has a migu. In other words, because what he could have said now is I bought it directly. Meaning he was there present at the sale between Jew and non-Jew. So now he knows that the Jew sold it. So he could say, and obviously it's not true, but he could say, I bought it directly from the Jew. And as a result of that, now he has what's called a migu. And as a result of having a migu, so therefore its credibility is now given. And that credibility provides him the proper taina necessary so that when he sits on the land for 3 years, the land is now going to rightfully be his. Yes?
He has such an interest to why I'd say that. Why would you believe him? I understand the Migo concept. But.
Right. Oh, that's the Migo concept. Meaning the Migo concept gives him enhanced credibility. You're right. In other words, there is a possibility that he can lie. But in the case of Migo, so he's given enhanced credibility. But you're right, though. In other words, he could lie.
But he's a single witness to the purchase.
Right. That bothered me as well. Right. The Migo over here only gives him the taina necessary.
Right.
In other words, as far as him, he did occupy the land there for 3 years.
That's what makes it
right. The Migo is there for just the taina, but I'm still, yeah, it still bothers me a little bit as well. I'm with you. Amar Rav Yehuda Aiman Danake Magla V'Tovila. Okay, Rav Yehuda makes the following declaration. This is something that we saw just a short couple of days ago. This was a Gemara back on Lamed Yimel. We're seeing it again today. That if a person goes Magla V'Tovila, he comes in with a sickle and he's got a rope. Rashbam explained earlier, the rope was to climb the tree, sickles to cut the fruit. V'Amar Ezel Agla L'Dikla, and I'm just going to go prune this tree right now. To cut the fruit off the tree, off the palm tree. D'Panaya D'Zamta Minei Mehemen. And because the person sold it to me, so he's going to be believed. In other words, sold me the fruit. Now, and we generally assume, now the Gemara over here does not say the word chazaka, but if you look in the Bach just simply has the words my taima. So my taima, it's basically a chazaka. We have a general presumption. Lo chasef inish lemegza dikla delav delay. We generally assume that people do not cut down fruit that doesn't belong to them. Meaning, if I'm going to someone's property, I'm cutting fruit down, there must be a reason why I'm there. Right? It's kind of like, nowadays when the gardener goes into people's properties. Like, what are you doing there? I'm clearly the gardener. Meaning, right, he comes in with the lawnmower, et cetera, et cetera. So, and people, generally speaking, don't have that kind of chutzpah. Now, the Rashbam pointed out earlier when we did this Gemara just a couple days ago, that obviously, if the owner gets out there and says, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. So from the point of protest and onward, obviously, he no longer has the right to be there. We're talking about where no protest was lodged. You're just simply going into somebody's property. So the Gemara says, we have that general chazaka. V'am Rav Yehuda, another point is Haiman de Achzik Miguda de Arude Ulavar. Let's say somebody makes a king in Chazaka, Cheskas Kemoshanim, on the outskirts of somebody's property. Literally, Miguda from the wall de Arude Ulavar. Arude, the Rashbam explains, is for animals, a certain type of animal. Ulavar means an outside. So in other words, like this, the Rashbam explains. I'll say the Rashbam here outside. Generally speaking, what people did is that they put a perimeter around the property so that nobody would go into the property, and immediately outside the property, what they would do is they would plant a little bit, have some vegetation growing over there on the outskirts of the property, and the reason why they would do that is so that when animals come, so they could just simply pick at the outside, and they're not going to be tempted to come in. Okay, this was the practice that was done. Let's say somebody comes along and establishes occupation 3 years on those outskirt properties. What the Gemara now is telling us is that's not a chazaka. Now it's now that you know what it is, it's kind of reasonable what we're saying. And the Gemara spells it out. Lo havei chazaka, it's not a king in chazaka. My tama meimar amar kol dezeren nami arude achlele. Look, you know why I planted over there? I planted over there so that the animals would eat from it. So now now you have a person coming over, and for 3 years has been eating on that little plot of land. I have no hakpada. I don't care about that little land. I specifically wanted it for basically anyone who wants to can go ahead and eat it. So therefore, it's not going to be a chazakah. Cheskes kemoshana means that you have to establish an occupation where if there was an original owner and he saw you doing that, he'd go ballistic. He'd be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But over here, given that this parcel of property was intended to be used by all, so therefore you have not established a cheskes kemoshanim. V'am Rav Yehuda, the Gemara continues with another halacha by Rav Yehuda. Achla arla in a chazaka. Now, let's start off with the girsa that we have in our Gemara and the girsa that the Rashbam has. And that is as follows. Let's say you go into somebody's property and the trees that are on that property are within the first 3 years. We all know that for the first 3 years after the tree is planted, so the fruit is also ba'achila uva'hana, it's called the Yisra Arla. Let's say somebody comes along and of those 3 years that he's been consuming on somebody's property, some of those years are Arla years. So under those circumstances, has he acquired the land? So the girsa that we have is Eino Chazaka. And the Rashbam, now I read, Achaz min ha-shalosh shanim ha-vishnas arla Eino Chazaka dolo ichpat leila ba'al ha-sadeh bishnas arla. Because again, it goes back to the fact that what's the owner's reaction? The owner's reaction is basically going to be a shrug of the shoulders. Okay, he's eating my arla. You're not allowed to, meaning, I know I should be giving him tochacha, I should be giving him musr. He's eating my arla. I know that. But quite frankly, I don't, meaning from a financial standpoint, I don't care. I'm not losing. And that's why he didn't protest. Now it goes without saying that if all 3 of the years that he's been eating, it's been arla fruit all those 3 years. Now there is another girsa in the Gemara which the Rashbam notes, and that is that if somebody eats arla and kalayim and shvius, so it is going to be a chazaka. Now obviously those are two, that's a significant difference of girsa, meaning the difference between enu chazaka versus chazaka means it either is not or it is a chazaka. But the Rashbam doesn't like the girsa. The Rashbam believes that it's not correct. Again, this all comes back to hakpada. If the owner sees you doing it, is it going to bother him? I mean, I guess it would bother anybody if somebody's sitting on their property. But in other words, the fact that he's eating my fruit that I can't eat, so shrug of the shoulders, meaning it's not something I could eat anyway, and therefore it does not establish a chazaka. So, if you take a look at Tosfos over here, by the way, the Rashbam didn't like that girsa of it is a chazaka. I can show you right in the daf somebody who does like it, and that is Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosfos. Right? Hachi gars Rabbeinu Chananel, achla arla. Look at the top Tosfos, the only Tosfos on the Amud. Achla arla, v'shvius v'kolayim havya chazaka. It is a chazaka. V'chein yiraliri ikar v'ari kisha achla zmuros. And then it's just a question of which portion of it that he's eating, which may not be subject to the prohibition of arla, meaning that the fruit itself is for sure arla, but the soft branches, which are edible, you know, like hearts of palm, something like that, so that is not subject to the iser of arla. Anyway, so various girsos on this particular Gemara, whether eating iser on somebody else, excuse me, on somebody else's property is or is not considered a chazaka. Back to
Shvius is only 1 year.
Shvius is only 1 year, but it cuts into the 3 years. So in other words, you deduct that 1 year from the 3 years. So if one of your 3 years is a Shemitah year, so then you can't count that.
Is it irrelevant that the trespasser knows it's
Arla? It's a fair question. I don't know. Tanya Namihach, the Gemara quotes the Brisa as well. Achla arla shvius v'klayim in a chazaka. The Brisa says that if the occupier is eating something of arla shvius v'klayim, it's not going to be considered a chazaka. Again, I'm reading the Gemara like the Rashbam prefers, which is that it doesn't create a chazaka. Amar of Yosef, next. Achla shachas ol havi chazaka. Somebody goes onto my field and eats my shachas. Shachas. Rashi. Shalohim timashi tigado hatvua ela gimel shanim ksara. Basically, you don't wait until the grain grows to its full maturation. You are cutting it early. What do you do with this premature grain? You feed it to your animals. So that's not a chazakah. Again, because basically what you're doing is you're trying to sneak away with it, right? The word shamed over here by used by that word used by the Rashbam is basically you're trying to slink away, meaning you look around, the grain is not at full maturity, you cut a little bit, you hand it to your animal. That is not a representation that you are the owner of that property, and therefore it's not a chazaka. Ulafichach, reading the Rashbam. Lo chashash zelim chos bo sheish raglan ledavish sheyari hu laachzik kashar b'nei adam lefisha. If you see somebody who is not proudly standing on the land, cutting the grain like normal people do, trying to sneak out with this premature grain, that's not considered a chazaka, and therefore the owner doesn't need to protest because you are not showing a clear demonstration of ownership.
They should protest anyway. What are you doing cutting my thing? It doesn't make a chazaka.
Right. Yes. Okay. Right. Amarava ivi pitzar mechoza kaima havi chazaka. Now, if we're in mechoza, so then it is going to be considered chazaka. Why should that be? Again, the Rashbam says that in the valleys of mechoza, the wealthy people there do grow shacha specifically for that purpose, and so therefore over there it is going to be considered a chazaka. So again, so a lot of this is subjective based on what people generally do and what is people generally do not do. If people generally do cut the grains prematurely, so then that's considered a chazaka when somebody else does it. I'm Rav Nachman, back to the Gemara. Tefichasa lo havi chazaka. Tefichasa is not considered a chazaka. Once again, going to the Rashman for an explanation. Karka psucha. So let's say the land is extraordinarily inferior and it doesn't really produce a yield. Because the owner is looking at you trying desperately to plant and grow something and you're not getting anything, and again, a shrug of the shoulders. Okay, that's nice. But in other words, he's not protesting because the land is not producing much. Back to the Gemara. If the land is only producing basically exactly the amount that you put in, meaning you're planting a core of seed and you get out a core of yield. Generally speaking, the yield that you're producing is going to be significantly greater than the seed that you plant. But over here, again, it's an inferior land, it's an inferior seed, whatever, it's just not working. And all you're getting is measure for measure on seed to yield. Lo havi chazaka. So again, that's not going to be a chazaka. Okay, and then finally, on this last section, v'hani de beresh galusa lo machziki ban v'lo mechazken behu. So as far as the lands of the resh galusa, so there's no chazaka in either direction. Meaning, if you occupy their land, that's not considered a chazaka, and if they occupy our land, so that too is not going to be a chazaka. And again, I told you, this is connected, the Rashbam connects this halacha to the halacha that we saw earlier this morning. Right. So interesting, by the way, the Gemara doesn't explain any of this. Right. Gemara just kind of rattles out these halachas one after another. Without the Rishonim, we'd be guessing. So again, I'm just reading the Rashbam over here. Lo mechaske ban im hichzik echad mehem besadoseinu. If one of them, meaning the family of the Resh Galusa, if they're sitting on our property, ain a chazaka v'tzarach liyizar b'shtar demachmas yirasam lo micha behem. Why don't I protest? Because these are politically powerful figures, and I'm terrified right now to lodge any kind of protest. And again, because of my fear that I'm not going to that I don't want to protest, so therefore they cannot create a cheskes kemoshanim. Conversely, the opposite is also true as well. V'lo mecheskin and behu. Again, reading the Rashbam, shemitoch shehem ashirim v'yesh lahem batim v'sados harbe minichem mei adam lador bebatem v'shoskim v'smechem kedei lashbiach karka shalahem. They have so many properties. So properties for them are like nothing. And somebody comes and sits on the property, again, from their perspective, that's nice. Okay, that's great.
No, it's not work at it now. They take it back.
Right, and you're just going to improve the property. V'yimsu mesukanim v'gam limchos en echoshishim l'fisha bezroa yitlu shalahem kol mansha sheyirtzu. And as far as them getting it back, they'll get it back whenever they want. So in other words, they don't need to protest. And again, if there's no need to protest, so therefore there can be no creation of a kinyan a cheskes kemoshanim. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of that particular sugya. So again, that sugya. sugya, by the way, started and ended according to the Rashbam with the same basic point: is that if there's a fear of making a, of lodging a protest, so then it blocks an ability of a kinyan a cheskas kimoshana. Okay. Next, avadim. Finally, we're going a little bit further now into the Mishnah. The Mishnah listed properties that could be acquired with cheskas kimoshanim and avadim as well. So, in other words, an eved kenani, which is chattel, it's a property that that can be purchased from one person to another. So now, if I am now, we're talking about a person. We're not talking no longer about a property. So you're right. It's obviously from a just a logistic standpoint, it doesn't operate the same way. Meaning, I'm making such an obvious point right now. But in other words, with land, you could sit on the land, you could work the land. You know, you could plant the land and eat the produce of the land. Obviously, with an eved, you can't do any of that. So the idea that we're translating a halacha from cheskas kimoshanim, from land over to an eved kenani, it's strange. I'm stating something which again I think is obvious. It's a strange movement of halacha to go from here to here. But again, we know the Gemara says time and again that an eved has the same status as karka halachically. The method of kinyan of an eved is the same as karka. Karka is kesef shar v'chazaka. Eved kenani is also kesef shar v'chazaka. We did that back in kedushin, and so basically now we're translating it one more time. We are moving over the halacha of cheskas kimoshanim from karka, and we're also moving it over to an eved as well. Even though obviously it does not behave in the same manner. Okay. The Gemara starts off the discussion. Avadim yesh lam chazaka. So an eved does have a chazaka. V'amar Reish Lakish agozros ein lam chazaka. So the Gemara said, quotes the name Reish Lakish. You know, animals don't have a chazaka. And why? And again, I'm turning to the Rashbam. Hagozros ein lam chazaka. Gozros stone v'chol davar hamalach b'durachim v'shvakim. Anything that moves on its own, animals basically. Shiachul amar mi'atzmo nechnas. Something which, you know, can walk, and it can walk in on its own. So you can't now claim, oh, the animal's not my property, it's mine. I'm the muchzak. I'm the owner. Eino chazaka ve'eino cholomar lakuch b'yibiyadi. V'havadim ha'achim heim b'chol makom utanan diyesh lam chazaka. And it bothers us now because animals move on their own, and so do avadim. And how can our Mishnah tell us that in Eved you can claim a cheskas kimoshanim when meanwhile Reish Lakish says, now I know it's Reish Lakish and a Mishnah, and obviously the Mishnah, you know, has more authority than that of Reish Lakish, but still, Reish Lakish is making an unchallenged statement, which is that animals don't have a chazaka. So how can our Mishnah tell us that that avadim do have a chazaka? But the answer is very simple, and the Gemara says it out. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, ein lam chazaka la'alter, avish yesh lam chazaka la'achar gemoshanim." So let's just understand Reish Lakish. What Reish Lakish was saying is that when an animal comes onto your property, you cannot immediately say, "Hey, it's mine. It's mine. It's not my property." That's ridiculous. But if for 3 years the animal has now been on your property, then you have cheskas kimoshanim. Similar to the Mishnah, which the Mishnah says that when it comes to an eved kenani, when it's been by you for 3 years, you have now a cheskas kimoshanim. Amarave mayakata muta barisa yesham chazaka la'alter. Now, if it is an immobile human being, like a baby, like an infant, so then you have cheskas, you have chazaka immediately, because there it didn't walk in on its own. Obviously, someone placed it here, and so therefore you have a chazaka immediately. Pshita, the Gemara suggests that that's really obvious. The Gemara says it's not really obvious. Lo tricha d'islaime. The Gemara says, well, who put it over here? The mom put it over there. Ma'u detema nechus del ma'ime aileisa lahasam. So the Gemara says, well, maybe mom just left the baby here. But with no plans of picking it up again. The Gemara says we have a general chazaka. It's a basic assumption regarding human behavior that mom doesn't just simply leave the baby. So the Gemara continues. Hanu izi da'achlu chushla b'narada. There were these goats who went onto somebody's property and ate off somebody's property. And asamare chushla. And the owner of this property, who now lost as a result of these goats are coming from somebody else. And so what does he do? Tafsinu. So he's toe-face. Meaning, right, we're in Baba Kama right now. When I say we're in Baba Kama, meaning this case that we're under discussion right now takes us back. Actually, the case is discussed in Baba Metzia, but it's really a Baba Kama topic. Okay. Baba Kama topic in Baba Metzia that we're repeating now in Baba Basra. Okay. Obviously, there's a lot of overlap. So, and we know that when an animal, when somebody's animal eats somebody else's produce, so that is the nezek referred to as shein. Okay, that's right. And therefore the owner of the animal is responsible to pay back. And so what the owner of the property did is he grabbed the goats, and he was making a strong taina. In other words, he was demanding a lot. Those goats ate a lot off my property. So, how much is he entitled to make a claim against? So, Avud Shmuel says that he can make a claim against the value of the goats. Meaning, now that he has the goats in his possession, he has confiscated the goats. And because he has now the goats in his possession, so basically, the goats are going to serve as remuneration against the damages that were done to him. And therefore, Avud Shmuel says he can claim upwards to the value of the goats. And again, using our second migu of the day, I know migu has been a topic that is covered again and again throughout this third parak. So our second migu of the day, he could have said, look, I purchased these goats, meaning that these goats are on his property, and because he can make such a claim, so therefore he can demand payment for the damages done by these goats up to the value of the goats. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. How can you make a claim that you own these goats? We are in the middle of the discussion of the Gemara saying right now that by gojos, by any movable animals, you can only create a chazaka after having them on your property for 3 years. So he can't make that claim. He doesn't have a migu, and the Gemara asks exactly that question. Reish Lakish Gojros Ein Lam Chazaka. Right, Reish Lakish says that Gojros don't have immediate Chazaka. After 3 years they do, but not an immediate Chazaka. How can the man make such a claim? So Shani Easy, the Gemara says, no, but goats are different. Demisiri Laroa. So the Gemara says, because goats are always transferred from one person to another. Okay. Meaning, as opposed to regular animals, animals wander around. But when it comes to goats, so they are shepherded animals, and so there's always going to be somebody who is going to be overseeing them. Gemara says, "Va'ayka tzafro panya." So the Gemara says, "What about the morning? What about the night?" The animals there are really tended to. So Benarada Taishchichi Umiyad Eliyad Mishami. So the Gemara says, yeah, Narada, in the town of Narada. So you always have people watching the animals, always handing it over from one person to another. And the Gemara basically says there is never a time when they're going to go unchecked and unsupervised. So goats, in other words, exception to the rule, goats do have a chazaka, and the chazaka is immediate just by simply possessing the goats. Masha and cane animals in general, the chazaka only works after 3 years. Okay. Bottom of the Amud on Lamed Vav Amud Beis to Dat Rabbi Shmuel Amr Shlosha Chadashim V'chulei. Okay. In order to create a Cheskes Gemoshanim, so you have to be occupying a land for 3 years. And then the Mishnah, this takes us back now all the way to Chav Chesem and Aleph, and then the Mishnah cites two opinions. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva says that those don't have to be 3 complete years. Now, the Tanakhama clearly does not hold like that. The Tanakhama says it's Gemoshanim Yom Liyom, 3 years from day to day. Meaning from, basically from the beginning of your occupation, mark the calendar 3 years from now when we get to this date again. So now you're going to be the owner of the property. Again, with a Taina and without a Macha. According to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah, it is those 3 years can be truncated. According to Rabbi Shmuel, 3 months of year one, a full year number two, 3 months of year three, 18 months in total. And Rabbi Kiva even further reduces years one and three to 1 month. So making a total of 14 months. The Gemara now addresses this machlokus of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Lema, near Ikabeinau, do Rabbi Shmuel Savar near Lohave Chazak, Rabbi Kiva Savar near Have Chazaka. Now, we have been assuming since the beginning of our perek that what creates a chazaka occupation, but not just simply squatting on the land, but specifically working the land, using the land, planting in the land, and getting yield from that which you planted. Maybe what the Gemara now is suggesting is that when Rabbi Akiva says it's a month, that all you need is a month, maybe it's because Rabbi Akiva says that even just plowing the land creates now your first annual chazaka, the first annum of chazaka. So the Gemara says, and Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's not plowing. He needs 3 months. 3 months presumably because you can only plant and harvest something within a 3-month period. So the Gemara says, that's not the pshat in the machlokas. I'm sorry, let me just read this again. This is what the Gemara is proposing right now, that the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is whether or not plowing by itself is considered a chazaka. V'tizbro, the Gemara says, do you think that's really logical? L'Rabbi Kiva, my irya chodesh. If plowing by itself creates a chazaka, you don't even need a month. Top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Afilu yom echad nami. Even one day, meaning however long it takes to plow the land. As long as you plow the land, which could be a day, maybe two, but that in of itself will now create a chazaka if the impetus of the chazaka is just plowing. The Gemara says, look, plowing by itself does not create a year of chazaka. The difference over here is a very simple difference, and that is, what kind of fruit do you need to plant and yield in order to create a chazaka? Rabbi Shmuel says they have to be larger in size. That's why he needs a 3-month window. And according to Rabbi Kiva, they could be very small. And even a 1-month, it's a very short period of time, but enough time to have something grow, even though it's very small, and that is going to create the chazaka. And it just leads the Gemara now to a discussion, can plowing create a chazaka? Now, I know the Gemara just got done saying that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel says no. The Gemara is going to point out, there is a Tana out there who subscribes to this idea that plowing does create a chazaka. Tana Rabbanan. Nearing a chazaka, the Tana Kama of the Braisa says that plowing does not create a year of chazaka. V'yeshomim hariz a chazaka. Now, there is an opinion that says it does. Man yeshomim, who is the author of that opinion? Amar Rav Chister of Rabbi Acha Hi. It is the Tana Rabbi Acha. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Nira shana v'zara beis, nira beis v'zara shana. If you plow 1 year, then plant two. If you plant 2 years and then you plow one, ain't a chazaka. That is not going to be considered a chazaka. Rabbi Acha Amar Haritz a chazaka. And Rabbi Acha says it is considered a chazaka. Am Rabbi Ashi Shilta Kol Gedole Ador. Rabbi Ashi says I asked around. V'amrali nira Haritz a chazaka. And interestingly, a number of Tanayim or a number of Gedole that he asked said that plowing is going to create a chazaka. So Amalei Rabbi Balarav Nachman my time of day Now again, well, let's understand this from a rational standpoint. What's the rationale behind it? So lo avin inish de krichu leila arei vishasek. Again, it is such a demonstrative form of ownership when you're on the land and you're plowing. If there was a marakama, if there was an original owner, and he saw you doing that, so wouldn't he go ballistic? Like he'd go crazy.
No, he wouldn't.
Well, okay. Well, once
then I'll come afterwards.
Right. Right. So the so the umay time demand amar near lo have chazaka, and then what's the rationale? I know, Phil, you beat me to the punch. And what's the? It's fine. It's okay. And what's the rationale behind the position that plowing is not considered chazaka? Meimar amar call shiva v'shiva dekarchula ala ayel bay. In other words, good. So he'll plow, and then I'll come in. Meaning, if somebody's planting on my property and then taking the yield for myself, so then kuli ama. Then obviously if there was an original owner, so he'd go ballistic. But obviously, it's just plowing, meaning, so the first argument is, who's plowing on my property? That's crazy. And the other argument is, no, thank you very much. Right? I don't know why you're doing it. I didn't ask you to do it. Right? But, okay. Good. Okay. Shalchulei b'nei fum nahara l'Rav Nachman b'Rav Chisi yamdin rabbeinu nir avi chazaka lo avi chazaka. So again, obviously this was a discussion amongst the Amoraim whether or not plowing is or is not considered a chazaka. So the members of the city of Fum Nahara sent a letter to Rav Nachman and they said, can plowing count towards the chazaka years, the 3 chazaka years? Amlu Rabbi Acha v'chol gedolei ador amar nir hariz a chazaka. So he quotes Rabbi Acha, which we've already identified the top of the summit that he is the Tana, but what he's arguing is there are other Tanaim as well who say that plowing is considered a chazaka. Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rabasa Lamech of Gavrei, is it such a big deal that you're counting up gedolim, meaning okay, so you can name people who say that plowing is considered a chazaka. So
I can also
Ha Rav Shmuel b'Bavel. Meanwhile, I'm going to show you. Rav and Shmuel the Gedolei Hador and Bava, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva Beretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael. Amir Nir lo have chazaka. So they say that Nir is not considered chazaka. Meaning, you can list together a group of people who say that plowing is considered chazaka. So I'll collect a group of Gedolim who say that Nir is not considered chazaka, and basically that it's not impressive. And then the Gemara just simply.
The second one mentioned names. The first one.
Right. But I'm sure he has the people. If you were to ask him,
here he mentioned.
Okay, agreed. Okay, so the Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Masnis, and he. So the Gemara says as far as Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. So that's a Mishnah. Meaning we've already learned the Mishnah. How long does it take to create a chazaka? So again, the Tanakam of our Mishnah says 3 full years, and Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel says that years 1 and 3 can be truncated. But even in the truncated years, it's not plowing. Meaning because it's 3 months, it's 1 month. But if it were plowing, it'd be significantly less. So the Gemara on the top of the Amud said 1 day. So we know that they reject plowing as a form of creating a year of chazaka. Good. So that's Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara says, Rav, Mahi. Now as far as Rav is concerned, Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Zu Div Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva. Ava Chachama Mormim Ches Kasim Gimel Shanim. Miyom Liyom. So Rav says, look. The opinion of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah is being debated by the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma says 3 full years. Meaning Rav is basically tipping his cap to the position of the Tanna Kamma and reinforcing the fact that you need 3 full years. Now when they're saying 3 full years, meaning that is obviously excluding something, and the Gemara is proposing it's excluding plowing. Shmuel Maihi, and the Gemara says, and what is as far as Shmuel is concerned? So the Gemara says, Dam Rav Yudam Shmuel Zudiv Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva. You have to harvest the land 3 consecutive years. Okay, we're talking about grapes and olives and dates. So the but basically it has to be 3 full harvests, and obviously to the exclusion of plowing. Okay, and then the Gemara points out, now Rav and Shmuel basically are making the same point. And is there a subtle difference between Rav and Shmuel? Rav said 3 full years. Shmuel also saying 3 full crops. So the Gemara says, "My benayu amar abaye dekel naara ika." Now the Gemara says that yes, there is going to be a subtle, small difference between the way Rav is saying and the way Shmuel is saying it, and that is a young palm tree that will be the difference between them. The Rashbam over here explains, "Dekel yaladu ubachura depachus migimel shanim shleimos tuunos gimel pan ba'amim." So a young tree, even less than 3 full years, it's still going to produce a yield. Delashmuel havi chazaka. According to Shmuel, really the focus is on the harvest, and as long as you are able to harvest on 3 years, even though it doesn't three times, even though it doesn't make 3 full years, it's still going to be a chazaka. And according to Rav, you need 3 complete years, and it doesn't matter when the trees actually create a yield.
There's no issue with oral.
No, meaning young over here doesn't mean young before the 3 years. It just simply means that they're generally speaking young. Arla was discussed in the Amud Aleph. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Let's just quickly recap. Today, we started the halachas of whether or not Cheskas Gimel Shanim applies to Akum. The Gemara says it does not. And when you take a land from a Akum, your ability to identify yourself as the owner cannot exceed that of the non-Jew's ability. He can only establish ownership through Shtar. Then once you buy it from him, you can only establish it through Shtar as well. Why is he excluded from Cheskas Gimel Shanim? So the Rashbam says, and I'm just going to say it succinctly, we're reviewing right now, it has to do with you are going to be too afraid to make a macha, you're not going to protest, and therefore his occupation does not result in an ownership. The Gemara discussed today what does and does not create a Cheskas Gimel Shanim, meaning you have to do something, again, just as a way of summarizing the Gemara, you have to do something which clearly demonstrates that you're the owner of the property, where if there was an original owner and you are not the rightful owner, so he would go ballistic. If you're doing something where he's going to just simply shrug his shoulders, so then that does not create a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. So, like eating something on the land which is Aser, like Arla, like Kalayim, like Shvis is not Aser. I didn't really cover that this morning. The Gemara didn't discuss it. The Rishonim did. Okay, anyway, let's leave that alone. Okay, so basically you have to do something which clearly demonstrates ownership. Then we talked about avadim cheskes kemoshanim. Okay, and animals also are cheskes kemoshanim. You can't create an immediate chazak on an animal, considering that it could just simply walk on your property. Noted exception, of course, is a goat. And finally, the last part of today's daf, dedicated to the topic of whether or not plowing the land is considered a chazaka. Rabbi Acha says it is, but the majority of the Tanayim and Amarayim are of the opinion that plowing by itself does not create a chazak.